Good evening. Glad to have you with us here as we are continuing our Live at 5 sermon series. It's almost 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. We are live. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the pulpit minister there at the Wood Church of Christ, located at 99 Sally Parton Road, the base of Short Mountain and Cannon County, Tennessee. You would be our honored guest at any and all services that we are having there at the congregation. You are always our honored guest. I am in the process of making sure everything is working right, and also sharing this on the Facebook page for the Wood Congregation. We're giving people about a minute or two to log in to be with us, and we are so glad that you are here. I hope that you have been having a good day. I know I have been. Why? Because it's the Lord's Day, which is my favorite day of the week, because it's just something special about Sundays and being with like-minded individuals and worship, spending the day in worship to my Creator. There's just something about that makes it hands down my favorite day of the week. I do hope that you have had a good morning. If you want to go back maybe later this afternoon, tomorrow or something along those lines, I shared it on my page, but on the page there it would as well. We preached on the God of the Plumb Line this morning at Wood, looking at a passage in Amos. I enjoyed that lesson. I hope it was beneficial, and maybe it might benefit you as well. I also hope that you were praying. Prayer is a great avenue that you and I have as children of God. If we're faithful to Him, the Bible says He hears our prayers. And it's great to know that when my life is filled with sorrows, I can simply bow my head and pour out my heart to my God, to my Maker, and His Son intercedes and presents my message before the Father. And there's also great comfort in knowing He answers. It may not always be an answer that I want. In fact, the answer oftentimes is no, because He knows what is best, and He knows His will, and I do my best to conform to His will. So I'd encourage you to be praying if you're not, and if you are praying, keep praying. We can never pray too many times. At least that's my humble opinion. You didn't ask it, but you're here in our Bible study tonight, so I feel you at least want to look at me say things, so I'll tell you, we can never pray too much. According to my clock, we just clicked over to 5 o'clock, which means we are now live at 5, which is the simple title for our sermon series here on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about loving your brother tonight, something that we all need to do. And in order to get us off on the right footing, go with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, we've got three verses that will set as our scripture text, as our springboard, our launching pad, if you will. 1 John 3, verse 17. Also 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. We'll read those verses, then get into the introductory material here. I'm reading from the King James translation. John says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and sees that his brother has need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Chapter 4, 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And we know that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And then those verses have become the basis for many a song that we sing in our songbook. Tonight, as we are talking about loving your brother or loving our brother, I may interchange those, but it will work just the fine for our lesson. When we look at the book of 1 John, those five beautiful chapters that we love to read and study, two main themes you could assign to it. The first one is that God is light. We find that in chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The other theme is that God is love, which we just read from verse 8, "For God is love." So it only makes sense in my mind, as we are talking about loving your brother, that we start with looking at passages about God, because God is love. Friends, love is not just some theoretical concept. Instead, it is a very practical element of the life of a Christian. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about the Valentine's Day kind of love, although that is coming 2 weeks, Lord willing, from today. If you need to buy somebody something, I don't eat chocolate, so if you're trying to find me something, don't. Mrs. Lee, the chocolate. I am talking about the true kind, the biblical kind. I'm not saying Valentine's Day is wrong. But what I'm talking about is the love that God had, that sacrificial love that God had for you and for me. It's not just something I can read about in theory, friends. It's something that I need in my life and you need as well. And we know that actions are there to show our love for one another. When we marry our spouse, we wear a ring to show how much we love them. We do little things for them. We tell them we love them. We tell our parents and our aunts and uncles and kids and grandkids and close friends that we love them. And maybe we bring them a meal, come visit, whatever. We show our love sometimes by our actions. Well, friends, tonight I want us to talk about love. And showing love. Because there are also some actions, which would be our second class. I don't know why it's not on there. There are some actions that show that we love. And friends, there are some actions that impede our love. And so tonight, I want us to look at four things that would impede the love for our brethren. So join with me as we study God's Word on loving your brother. We impede ourselves from loving our brother when, number one, we impede the love that we have for our brethren when we put a stumbling block before our brother or our sister in Christ. Go back to the second chapter of 1 John. 1 John 2, verses 10 and 11, where John says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth." Why? Because that darkness has blinded his eyes. He says, if you love God, if you love your brother, you're not going to put a stumbling block in front of him. Friends, loving our brother means that stumbling block, that is something that we know they're going to get tripped up on. Now, sometimes I may place a stumbling block in front of somebody, and I don't know it's going to make them stumble or be tempted to stumble. But sometimes there are things, maybe topics to discuss, people to be around. Maybe they've come out of a sin of maybe alcoholism, and then you take them to a place where they serve alcoholic drinks. That could become a stumbling block to them, friends. If you purposely do that, the Bible says you might as well be like you're hating them. Go with me to the book of Revelation, the final book in the New Testament. We see that Balaam, you remember that Old Testament character? Yeah, the one with the donkey and all those fun stories. He's condemned for placing a stumbling block. Notice Revelation 2:14, as he is writing to the church at Pergamos. It says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." See, Balaam is condemned because Balaam wanted to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Balaam wanted to watch at times the children of Israel stumble and fall. But friends, let's see how Paul puts it when he writes to those in Philippi. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere," watch this, "and without offense until the day of Christ," or until Christ returns, right? See, Paul is praying that their love would abound, and with the results, they would approve excellent things. They would be sincere, and they would be void of offense. Now, what would an offense be? A good example, putting a stumbling block before your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. Something that you know they're struggling with. And instead of you putting your arm around them, well, we can't do that in the pandemic world, theoretically putting your arm around them, right? And saying, I am here for you. I know you are struggling with this. Let me help you overcome it. Instead, the person with the stumbling block puts your arm around them, theoretically, and says, I know you're overcoming this. Let's go watch other people do this. Let's get as close to this sin as we can without doing it, hoping that you're going to give in. Friends, Paul wanted them to be without offense. And we would do well to want to be without offense today as well. One more writing from Paul, and we'll move on to our second point of how we impede our love for our brethren. When we put a stumbling block before them, notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 10, 32 and 33. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. The previous verse, he says, whatever you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. See, in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there is a problem, is that some are eating meat that has been bought at the market, and they don't know if it was sacrificed to an idol or not. It could have been, and they could have tried to profit off of that. And Paul says, if you don't know, go ahead and eat it. But if you don't know and it bothers you, don't eat it. But if you know it has, don't eat it. But all in the end, he's saying all these things not to offend, because there were some good-hearted Corinthian brethren who they were just sitting there, just everything's just kind of twisted up for them. Just the thought of some of these things. See, Paul is writing saying, I'm not trying to put a stumbling block. In fact, Paul will later go on to say that I would rather never eat meat again if it's going to cause you to stumble. At least not eat meat in your presence, but the thought there is the same. Paul's willing to go out of his way to not let a brother or sister stumble. Now, we may say things that make them stumble, and if we didn't know, we can't really prevent that. But doing things that you just know, a stumbling block, putting that in front of a brother or sister in Christ, that will impede your love, and we should not do that. But secondly, this evening, we impede our love for our brethren when we serve self instead of them. When we serve self, instead of brother or sister in Christ. Go with me to the second chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul desires for his joy to be fulfilled. And Paul desires that the brethren love one another. Friends, and he even explains, in case you're wondering, what does that mean, Paul? It means doing things not through, nothing done through strife or vainglory. Not doing it to serve me, but to serve you. And that each would esteem the other better than himself. In other words, not to look at yourself first. See, that's the problem, right? If I only serve me, I don't really love you, right? Because I'm not doing anything to try to make your day, to make your life, to make what you're going through easier or better. Now, Paul is not saying don't ever tend to yourself. Don't ever do things to advance yourself. That's contrary to what Paul's saying. But Paul is saying you don't need to only be serving self. Instead, serve others as well. Selfishness is the first thing, friends, in the list of hating our brother. It's kind of the first step. If you're selfish, it almost just seems like you slip in to the rest of this. Notice there with me, if you will, 1 John 3, 11 and 12. For this, John says, is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's, well, they were righteous. I know Cain did not love Abel in this regard because he was serving himself. His brother had offered a sacrifice, the best that he had, pleasing to God. It's not indicated to us that Cain's was the best. Friends, Cain slew Abel out of jealousy. And jealousy has roots in selfishness. Cain was jealous. Cain apparently did not offer the best that he could have. His brother did. His brother is commended, and Cain is not commended, so he's upset. Friends, don't be jealous. Don't be selfish. Don't serve yourself more than you serve your brother. Keep going in 1 John 3, though, verses 16 through 18, because John speaks about a very selfish kind of love. Watch this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What's that selfless kind of love? Jesus Christ. That love that God has for us is our example of true love. You see, God was selfless. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. He was selfless in giving his Son for us. Friends, this means we should be selfless. We should seek to serve others, ultimately, potentially, by giving our life. Jesus said, John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Friends, this also means simply giving our brothers or sisters in Christ what they need. You may be in a good position to help someone. Sometimes all they need is somebody to talk to. Somebody to know that somebody else is on their side, that they're not in this fight alone. The love of God does not dwell in a selfish brother. So if you love God, you're not going to be selfish. If you're being selfish, stop and start loving God. We impede our love for our brethren, friends, when we seek to serve self instead of our brother. Number three this evening. We impede our love for our brethren when we bite and when we devour one another. When we bite and we devour one another. Go with me there to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Watch this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth, nor he addeth thereunto. Friends, we are to love, to serve, to enslave. There's a comma splice, ignore that. One another. We are to submit to one another the way that Jesus Christ submitted to that death upon the cross. And in contrast, Paul would later go on to describe a difference there between that biting and that devouring. Go with me to Galatians 5. I knew that seemed off, but I typed it wrong. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. Although I like chapter 3. Galatians 5, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Once again, same points. We are to, comma slice, ignore it. Love, We are to serve. That literally has the idea of enslaving, becoming a servant to one another. There's a great contrast there between biting and devouring. If I truly am your servant, I will not try to bite and devour you, not try to consume the things that you have, but instead I will try to get you the things that you need. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3:3, where there Paul says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" See, he says there are divisions, there's problems. You should be unified. You should be loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, and instead, you're trying to get at them. You're trying to devour them, get at them, make them quit, make them upset, things along that nature. Go with me to the New Testament general epistle of James. James 3:14-18. Notice what James has to say. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Friends, bitter envying is devilish wisdom. And envying and strife are the only result in confusion and evil work. You can't go out envying and you can't go out with strife among others and then sit there and expect to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord," because you're not living according to thus saith the Lord. Friends, if you are biting and devouring your brother or sister in Christ, you're not loving them. You may say, "Oh, it's playful." No. When people's feelings, when people's emotions and mantra is shattered, when people contemplate quit going to worship, that's not a joke, friends. Don't bite and devour your brother. You're impeding loving them. The final area I want us to examine tonight in a way that we impede loving the brethren is when we speak evil to our brethren. When we speak evil to, notice the slide though, when we speak evil to or of our brethren. So those of you who don't say something evil or don't speak bad about somebody in front of them but do it behind their back, you're still speaking evil. And you're not really loving your brother or sister in Christ. Go with me to the end of Ephesians 4 and the beginning of Ephesians 5. Keeping in mind that there were no chapter breaks or verse breaks when Paul originally wrote this. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Friends, walking in love means that we're not going to speak evil of our brother. I had to abbreviate to fit it on the slide. We're not going to speak evil if we're walking in love. Friends, this is certainly possible for us to strictly tell the truth, yet speak evil of our brother. Friends, we're supposed to speak in love. We're supposed to be practicing kindness, practicing gentleness, practicing meekness, practicing forgiveness, because we want them to, golden rule, Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So I would not want you to go out and speak evil of me, so I'm not going to go out and speak evil of you. It's plain and simple. But friends, we do remember, go back to verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ." Friends, we need to speak the truth in love. I've been known to say, and I'll say it again, sometimes I'm a firm believer, that might be tough love, but we need to speak the truth in love. In other words, that's going to a brother or sister and saying, "I need to tell you something. I was studying God's Word. You're doing this, and God said, don't do that. I'd like to help you get in a right relationship with Him. It's having the other person's intent at mind. Go to verse 25, then we'll go to Colossians. Wherefore, putting away lying, every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying. We're all in this together. Colossians 3 and verse 9, the Bible reads, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, that one kind of stings there, doesn't it? Paul's writing to Christians, and he says, put away lying. You put away lying when that old man died, when that old body went down into that watery grave, and you came up a new creature. For 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you came up a new creature alive in Christ, that old man that lied stayed there in the grave, so you better put that away. You would not go to the graveyard to pull up some dead ancestor. You're not going to pull up that old life of sin, try to live in it every now and then. Our final passage I want us to examine is in Romans 12, 9 through 18. Because there are many things we need to think of, many ways that we need to act instead of speaking evil to or of our brothers. Notice this. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He'll close the chapter, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, there is no reason why we need to speak evil to or of our brethren. They have a soul that's going to go to heaven or hell just the same as mine, depending on how I've lived their lives, depending on how they live their lives. There's no need for us to speak evil of our brethren. And when we do that, then we're not loving them. We're not loving them at all. Now, we'll need to go to our brother or sister and say, hey, you've wronged me, or hey, according to my study, you may not be living according to the Lord. Let's study that together. That's different than speaking evil, saying, can you believe what he or she has done? Friends, we've talked about loving our brother this evening, something that the world needs more of. And we impede ourselves, we hinder ourselves from loving our brother in Christ or our sister in Christ when, number one, we put that stumbling block before them. We say something that we know is going to trip them up. Number two, when we serve ourselves instead of serving our brother. Number three, when we're biting and devouring instead of trying to help them get to heaven. And number four, when we're speaking evil to or of our brother. Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister in Christ? Then don't be doing these things. Instead, see how you can help them get to heaven while you're working on getting to heaven as well. That's my encouragement for you this week. Go out and remove these things from your life so you can better love the brethren. Because I tell you what, there's nothing like the Lord's church. I wouldn't give being in the Lord's church for anything. I love the brotherhood. Friends, if you would like a copy of these notes, they're all available on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. You can Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D Bible. Click on the Bible Resources page, and you can find all these in the sermon section. They're alphabetical, so look for loving your brother. Now, if you do me a favor, please share this video so that others can understand the love that we are to have for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd greatly appreciate that. I'd also like to extend a warm invitation to you to come be with us again on Wednesday night. We're ready for the fourth chapter in the book of Romans. We're going to talk about Abraham, Lord willing, Wednesday night, 6:30, live here on Facebook. So, hope you can join us for that. Now, Thursday night, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I, we will continue our Facebook Live Thursday night Bible study, and we had just finished the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, 5 foolish, in Matthew 25, so we will pick up at verse 14 as we are getting close to the time when Christ is betrayed and crucified for our sakes. That'll be live here on Facebook. Sunday morning, hope you'll be back in the building with us at 11 o'clock in the morning there at Wood Church Christ, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. Although I do not have the sermon topic in front of me because I was more concerned about this one, I do know this. We're going to continue our year-long series, it being the first Sunday of the month, Lord willing, next week. And so I hope you can be a part of that. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.